Hello there, this is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. You're listening to Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside. Today we look at our fourth programme in the Advent season. As we prepare to hear God's word today in scripture and song, let's first listen to a beautiful Taizé chant called Magnificat. Its words are Magnificat anima mea Dominum, which in Latin means My soul magnifies the Lord. These were Mary's words of praise to God.
Magnificat, magnificat.
Elizabeth both happen to be my mother's Christian names, and yet throughout her life she's been known to family and friends as Bess, which is a shame, for these are the names of the two most blessed women in the New Testament, and they both appear in our reading today. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. She must have been overwhelmed when an angel told her husband, Zechariah, that she would soon give birth to a son who would one day be a messenger of God. She was elderly, and she'd given up all hope of having a child of her own. So what joyful news this must have been for this childless couple. Not only had Elizabeth's prayers been answered, but the stigma then that came to a woman who was barren was to be taken away at long last. And what an honour God was to bestow upon their son to be known as his messenger. The angel Gabriel had told Zechariah that this child, John, would bring back many Israelites to God. He'd be possessed by the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah and would prepare the people's hearts and make them ready for the arrival of the Lord, the Messiah. All this happened in time, just as the angel had said. Here's a hymn which I played recently, sung not by Red Mountain this time, but by the ethereal voice of Enya. It captures for me the mystery and wonder of the coming of the Messiah. It's a hymn sung partly in Latin this time, and it expresses a people's longing for God to fulfill his promise to live among them. O come Emmanuel, here by Enya.
O come. To free your captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. Israel,
We also look at the character of Mary this week, who in our reading today comes hurrying to Elizabeth's home. She too has been visited by the angel Gabriel and has some amazing news to share. In Mary's vision, the angel had told her that she would conceive and give birth to a son, and she would call him Jesus. The angel also told her that the child would be son of the Most High God, and he would give him the throne of his father David, and he would reign over Jacob's descendants forever, that his kingdom would never end. Elizabeth's pregnancy had also been revealed to her by Gabriel, which is why she was so overcome with praise to God when she saw Elizabeth, who was in the sixth month of her pregnancy. Here are the words which tell Mary's story in a song sung to us by Barbara Dixon. It's called The Angel Gabriel.
The angel Gabriel from heaven came, his wings as drifted snow, his eyes as flame. All hail, said he, thou lowly maiden Mary, most highly favored lady, Gloria. For know, a blessed mother thou shalt be, all generations, Lord, and honor thee. Thy son shall be Emmanuel, by seers foretold, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Then gentle Mary meekly bowed her head, to me be as it pleaseth God, she said. My soul shall Lord and magnify his holy name, most highly favored lady, Gloria. Of her Emmanuel the Christ was born, in Bethlehem all on the Christmas morn, and Christian folk throughout the world will ever say, most highly favored lady, Gloria.
So, having set the scene for you, let's listen to Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, where Mary comes hurrying to Elizabeth's home. In those days Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." So why was Mary in such a hurry to get to the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah so soon after the angel's appearance to her? Was she not seeking confirmation of her vision? Or was she wondering whether it had all been a vivid dream? Did she reason that if Elizabeth had had a similar experience, then she, of all people, would believe her own story? According to Delia Smith in her book A Feast for Advent, she writes this: "If I may be allowed to make a personal interpretation here, I like to think that after the Annunciation, where the angel appeared to Mary, that Mary believed in what God could do and agreed to surrender herself. But when God provided her with a friend with a similar experience, suddenly everything was confirmed. Belief blossomed into certainty. They both knew." And so Elizabeth greeted Mary with these words: "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And then the child in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy on hearing Mary's voice and perhaps sensing the presence of the Christ child. Something very strange and wonderful was happening here. John, a baby in the womb, announces the arrival of the Messiah to his mother long before God has told him to do so in the wilderness to others. Here is Andrea Bocelli singing Ave Maria, one of the most recognizable and well-known prayers throughout the Western world. I also wonder if Mary fully understood the implications of what the angel had said to her. Did she ask herself what kind of greatness would be bestowed upon her son? Would her baby really be the Son of the Most High? If so, what kind of power would he have? She must have had so much more to ask the angel. So now who better to answer her questions than Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband? After all, he was of priestly descent. He was a Levite, educated in matters of the law and in the sayings of the prophets. So surely he must have been well aware of what would be in store for such a child as this. It seems to me that at this point she would have had no idea of the implications of her yes to God. Similarly, we have no idea what God has in store for us, what he will achieve through us when we too are humble and obedient. Here's a song by one of my favourite groups called Pentatonix. Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know?
On hearing Elizabeth's words affirming her as blessed and seeing for herself that Elizabeth is with child too, then Mary is filled with a radiant joy and bursts into words of praise, reminiscent of a song by a woman called Hannah in an Old Testament story in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verse 1. We call her words the Magnificat, just like our opening song. But here is the full version of it in the second part of our reading today. So I'm continuing to read at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has looked with favour on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Here's a second song called Magnificat by Michael John Talbot.
My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exalts in God my Savior, for he has looked mercy on my lowliness and my name will be forever exalted, for the mighty God has done mercy will reach from age to age.
The words that Mary utters here in the Magnificat are quite extraordinary, and they read like some political manifesto. Her words would have been described as revolutionary. Having thanked God for bestowing honour upon such a lowly handmaiden as herself, Mary goes on to speak of the very nature of God and his ways. Firstly, he scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Jesus himself told a story of a man who was very religious, wealthy and righteous, who went into the temple to pray, but he came out empty. His prayers were all about himself, whereas a sinful tax collector, poor in spirit and in desperate need of forgiveness, humbled himself, prayed for God's mercy and found forgiveness. There is no room for pride in God's kingdom. When Muhammad Ali, famous boxer, was in his prime and was about to take off in an aeroplane flight, the flight attendant reminded him to fasten his seatbelt. He replied arrogantly, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The attendant came back to him saying, "Superman don't need no aeroplane either." So he fastened his belt. But secondly, God brings down the powerful from their thrones and lifts up the lowly. I don't suppose this phrase applies to rulers only. Any one person, any nation that would set themselves up as superior, more important than anyone else, and in need of being waited upon and obeyed, has to be heading for a fall. But those that are humble and patient and peace-loving will find themselves lifted up and honoured by God. If you ever get the chance to visit the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, which marks the birthplace of Christ, you will find that you must enter the church by the door of humility, a low-lying door through which you must stoop to enter. Perhaps it was built this way to repel invaders, but it's a visual aid to us all to enter a sacred space humbly. a reminder not to think too highly of ourselves. When we realize the sacrifice Jesus made for us all, we can no longer regard anyone as being beneath us. But thirdly, God fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. Therefore, it begs the question today, is it right for those of us who have so much to be so extravagant and wasteful, while so many others in the world have so little? Is it right indeed at this time of the year to be self-indulgent and careless with money? Nicky Gumbel, in his book Why Christmas, says there's always a danger of overspending, buying presents that others don't need with money they have not got. This reminds me of the contrast between Ebenezer Scrooge and Bob Cratchit in Dickens' Christmas Carol. Scrooge, who has great wealth, leads a frugal, lonely and miserable existence despite all his money. He's proud and powerful, but shuts everyone out of his life and despises love. On the other hand, Bob Cratchit, his clerk, is poor, but rich in so many other ways, in his friendships, in family life, and in counting his many blessings. Let's listen to a hymn called Tell Out My Soul from St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast. It's a Christian hymn which paraphrases the Magnificat, written by Timothy Dudley Smith. Made herself available, and she accepted the task given to her by God. To the angel, she replied with these words, I'm the Lord's servant. As you have spoken, so be it. Let this be our prayer today. There are times when we find ourselves in despair, particularly when we don't enjoy good health. We begin wondering whether God really cares for us, and whether he really has a purpose for our lives. In every situation, in every circumstance, let's give our all to God anyway, even when there seems to be a deafening silence in the heavens. My final song is called Giving It All to You from my album of the same name. This last verse has this to say. Help me to say my yes to you. Help me to give my all. Help me not to be afraid, help me just to listen when you call. Oh Lord, I'm giving it all to you. Thank you so much for listening to the programme today, and I do hope you're able to listen in on Christmas morning too at our usual time of 7:30, as we're planning to include Christmas carols by some local singers. We're looking forward to that, Andrew and me, and we're hoping this programme will be a real blessing to you. Have a good week, everyone, and bye for now.
All my endless imaginings, the worries that are mine, my doubts where you're leading me. desires of a longing heart, the answer never there. My cry echoes in the night. Do you really, really care? Oh, Lord, I'm giving it all to you. Drawn to walk your way, resisting or surrendering, must emptiness surround me every day. Oh Lord, I'm giving it all to you, giving it all to you.